Name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. So we'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance family this morning. And as always, let's turn to the Blessed Mother. Mary to beg for help. Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Mary is also known as she's the mother of God. She's the mother of the church. And she's the mother of each and every one of us. Let's turn to Mary. And this Saturday, Saturday is a day in which we like to honor Mary in a very special way. Let's pray the prayer that Mary loves most. And it's the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Let's turn now to our spiritual guide. Our spiritual guide is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has many names or titles, among which the Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. The Holy Spirit is the bond of love between the Father and the Son. Holy Spirit is the Consoler. Holy Spirit is also the Interior Master. Dear Master, and as St. Paul says, we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba, Abba, Father. So let's invite the Holy Spirit to be with us, to pray for us and to pray with us. And ask him to give a lot of light, a lot of joy, and a lot of strength. As we sing, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Now in us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Fall afresh on us. Fall afresh on us. O Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Teresa of Avila, pray for us. Saint Faustina, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. My friends, we have arrived almost at the end of the Christmas season. Tomorrow, which is the baptism of our Lord, we come to the conclusion of the Christmas season. So let's briefly go through the Christmas season, then we'll go to the first reading, which has very important messages for us. The Advent season culminates in the Christmas Eve Mass. Christmas Eve we celebrate December 24th. And there are actually three Masses for Christmas, the midnight, the dawn, and the Mass during the day. The essential meaning of Christmas is the birth of Christ. Why was he born? His name indicates his purpose or function. The name that was given to Jesus by the angel, then Saint Joseph, is Jesus. And his name means Savior. He came to save us from sin, from slavery to our passions. And he came to open up the gates of heaven for us, which were closed as a result of the sin of Adam and Eve. So Christmas is a day and time of great joy. Immediately after Christmas, we celebrated the feast day of the proto-martyr. This proto-martyr's name is Saint Stephen. And as a result of the death and the prayers of Saint Stephen, we have the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, Saint Paul. And the saints go on to write that if we're not for the prayers of Saint Stephen, we might not have the conversion of Saint Paul. The day after, we celebrate the Holy Family. Holy Family is the model family, and it consists of the perfect son, the perfect wife, and the perfect husband. The Holy Family is Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. We want to pray for our families. We want to pray for our country, especially in this political transition. We want to pray for our country that they will support traditional families between husband and wife and children. So let's ask the Holy Family for the defense of the basic building block of society, which is a family. The cell of society. John Paul II says, the way the family goes is the way the society goes. So here's a beautiful prayer that I invite you to learn in honor of the Holy Family. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I give you my heart and my soul. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, make my heart like unto yours. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, assist me in my last agony. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I breathe forth my soul unto thee. O sacrament most holy, O sacrament divine, O praise and O thanksgiving be every moment thine. beautiful prayer that I invite all of you to learn. In honor of the Holy Family and also for our family and for our own salvation. That was actually December 27th. December 27th also happens to be the feast day of a great saint. And the name of that great saint, his name is Saint John the Evangelist. So much can be said about this great saint. But one idea. Jesus chose 12 apostles. But among them he chose 3 to be his best friends. And those best friends were Peter, James, and John. His 2 best friends were Peter and John. His best friend was John the Evangelist. So let's pray in honor of Saint John the Evangelist that we would cultivate a deeper friendship with Christ. When all is going in many different directions, we should focus our eyes on Christ and strive like Saint John the Evangelist to cultivate a deep, dynamic friendship with Christ. He is el amigo que nunca falla, as they say in Spanish. He's the friend that will never fail us. He's never failed me. He's never failed you. We fail him. But he'll never fail us. Then on December 28th, my friends, we celebrated the feast day of Holy Innocents. This feast day is very much related to the Epiphany. Because on this feast day, we call to mind when the wicked King Herod felt that he was deceived by the kings. Infuriated, he sent his soldiers to kill, to brutally massacre the Holy Innocents, the little boys 2 years and younger. And they were massacred. They're brutally ripped out of the arms of the mothers and slain. We made the obvious connection between the killing of the Holy Innocents 2,000 years ago and abortion today. We don't know exactly the number of the Holy Innocents that were slaughtered. But today is much worse. Every day in the United States, every 20 seconds a baby is being murdered through abortion. On an average about 1.2 million every year. Babies are being murdered in abortion mills. So not that day, as well as January 22nd, which is getting very close, we offer up prayers of reparation for the sins of abortion. January 22nd, we call to mind, in 1973, worst decision in the history of our country, Roe versus Wade. When abortion was legalized from the moment of conception until 9 months, you have to be the voice of the unborn child. The child cannot speak for himself. You have to be the voice of that child. So do I, as I'm doing right now. So that's holy innocence. December 29th recalled to mind the 850th anniversary of the martyrdom and death of St. Thomas Becket. He was murdered in the cathedral during the reign of King Henry II. And he's a model for us for religious liberty, because King Henry II was trying to take away the rights of the church. He was bolstering taxes. He was also appointing bishops without the permission of Thomas Becket, who was the archbishop. So let's pray, my friends, that we would have religious liberty in our country. That a new government would not persecute Christians and Catholics, but support our religion. And if not, maybe some of us will have to die as martyrs. And as Tertullian says, the seed, the blood of martyrs is a seedbed for Christian growth. The last day of the year was the feast day of Saint Sylvester. And he was a pope that lived in the 300s. During the time in which the Emperor Constantine issued the Edict of Milan, which made Christianity or Catholicism the religion of the state. But this pope also was instrumental in defending the divinity of Christ. He also was instrumental in building beautiful churches in Rome. They're called the basilicas. Basilica means the residence of the king. Basileo means king. St. John Lateran, Holy Cross in Jerusalem, St. Lawrence, St. Paul outside the walls. Thanks to this pope, we have these beautiful, beautiful, among the most beautiful churches in the world. Then, my friends, we entered into the new year, going through this beautiful season so that we can rejoice in these next few hours before we enter into ordinary time. St. Ignatius says it's a good idea to do a repetition, to rewind the film, to revisit meditations where God has given us consolation. St. Francis Sales gives us the example from nature that a bee will go into a flower and then return Because he's taken some nectar or honey from the flower, but there's still some left. For that reason, when you do your meditation, and you experience a lot of consolation, it's a good idea sometimes to go back to revisit it, because God still has more graces to give to you. That's the idea of the bee going back to the flower to derive more honey that's present there. So my friends, that was the first 5 days of Christmas. All this falls into what is called the octave of Christmas, meaning 8 days. Because it's not possible for us to celebrate the birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in one day. So we celebrate our Lord's birthday in a week, the octave, but also we celebrate the whole Christmas season, which concludes tomorrow with the baptism of the Lord. So what about January 1st? January 1st, we start the civic new year. But it's a day in which we enter into the new year with the Blessed Virgin Mary, which we celebrate Mary, the Mother of God, the Theotokos. Of all the Marian privileges, all the Marian titles that we can give to her. And this is Saturday, a day in which we want to honor Mary in a special way. The title of Mary as Mother of God is the greatest. So if you really want to honor Mary, say the Hail Mary. Better yet, say the Rosary. Because every time you say Holy Mary, every time you say the Hail Mary, you say Holy Mary, Mother of God. Mary rejoices. God gave Mary the privilege to be the Mother of God. What a wonderful title. But Mary's maternity of Christ does not stop there. The Council, the Vatican II Council, which ended in the early 60s, ended by composing 16 documents. They're called the Documents of Vatican II. Four of those documents are called the Dogmatic Constitutions. They are De Verbum Sacrosanctum Concilium, Gaudium et Spes, and Lumen Gentium. Lumen Gentium has 8 chapters, and the 8th chapter of Lumen Gentium is dedicated to Mary, in which the Church Fathers honored Mary as the Mater Ecclesiae, which means that Mary is the Mother of the Church. But also Mary is our Mother. You know, I meditate upon that truth today as we honor Mary. As Jesus hung on the cross, about to breathe forth his spirit to the Eternal Father, He looked down from the cross and he saw the two people he loved most, his mother and St. John the Evangelist. And he said, "Woman, behold thy son." Then he said to the beloved disciple, "Son, behold thy mother." And from that moment, the beloved disciple received Mary into his home, which means received Mary into his heart. In the symbolic interpretation of that is that Mary is becoming the mother of the church, but also in the person of St. John the Evangelist is present you and me. From the cross, Mary became our spiritual mother. So we started off the new year honoring Mary as Mother of God. Hopefully all of you will honor Mary by praying the rosary. Got some really beautiful things posted, the documents of Vatican II, a beautiful YouTube on the unborn child, Psalm 139. There's another document that you might be able to read this year. It's John Paul II, the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Rosary. Was John Paul II introduced the new mysteries, they're called the Luminous Mystery. This was about 18 years ago. Was John Paul II invited all of us to contemplate the face of Christ through the eyes and the heart of Mary. So we started off the year with Mary. Mary's the mother of God, Mary's the mother of the church, and Mary's the mother of each and every one of us. January 2nd, my friends, we celebrated the feast day of two friends. Two friends who became saints as well as fathers of the church. And these are Saint Basil the Great as well as Saint Gregory of Nazianzen. One point I'd like to glean from this is that both of them established the bonds of a spiritual friendship. The bonds of a deep spiritual friendship in which both of them had a really real hunger and thirst for learning. So they went to the University of Athens in Greece. And they studied. And even though there is sometimes rivalry, envy, jealousy, not in the case of St. Basil and Gregory of Nazianzen. Rather, they tried to support each other to grow in wisdom, knowledge, and grace before God and men. They support each other in trying to grow in holiness. To grow in holiness. Yes, to grow in holiness. And I think we have to pray in our Perseverance family that we'll establish among ourselves a deep bond of friendship I pray for you. You pray for me. Let's pray for everyone in our Perseverance family. That like these two saints, we would grow in wisdom and knowledge and grace and holiness before God and men. And maybe you have a spiritual friend, in which with your spiritual friend, you're really striving to grow in wisdom and knowledge. But also in holiness. My friends, really the only way we're going to improve this world is when each and every one of us makes the decision, I'm going to try to become a saint. And I don't say that as a pious platitude or a cliche. All of us have to work on becoming saints. That means discerning what is God's will for me and trying to carry it out every day. That's what holiness is, to try to discern what is God's will for me. And then beg for the grace to carry it out. So these are two fathers of the Eastern Church. Theology is called patristics. You can never go wrong in studying the fathers of the church, the Latin fathers as well as the Eastern fathers. Eastern fathers we possibly know more. St. Augustine, St. Ambrose, St. Jerome, St. Gregory the Great. Eastern fathers, also a father is known for his learning and his holiness. We have St. John Chrysostom, St. Basil the Great, St. Gregory of Nazianzen, St. Athanasius, St. Cyril of Alexandria. These are the Eastern fathers of the church. Then, my friends, we have, in the first week of January, talking about holiness. We have the American saints, or those who were sanctified in North America. And who are they? Three of them. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, the first American-born saint, fascinating life in which she became a widow at 29 with five children. She ends up by founding a community of nuns, known as the Daughters of Charity. She becomes a foundress. And she becomes one of the patron saints of Catholic education. Now more than ever, we must have good Catholic education. Now more than ever. Never have we had such confusion as well as crisis in education as a whole as we do now. For that reason, we want to call out and pray to St. Elizabeth Ann Seton for our schools, especially for our Catholic schools, that they would be authentically Catholic. John Paul II wrote a dogma Ex Cordiae in which He told all those in higher education to promise to be faithful to the magisterium of the church. Let's pray that we would be faithful to the magisterium of the church. Then the following day we get St. John Neumann. Very interesting saint. Because this great saint was born in Bohemia, which would be modern, the Czech Republic. And he had to leave his country, but because he wanted to be a priest, there were enough priests in Bohemia, the bishop thought, so he traveled to the United States and became a priest. And he became the bishop of Philadelphia. And in 8 years, he carried out so much. He built 98 churches in about 7.5 years. And like St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, he's a patron of education, parochial school education. Because of the Bishop St. John Neumann, the church is built next to them schools. These became the parochial schools. So as a result of this, we have the parochial Catholic school system in the country. We have both the Catholic school and next to the school, parish and school. Given that we're going through a difficult crisis now, let's pray that we'll be able to maintain this. But very important is that we should pray for a solid Catholic education, not watered down or diluted, but solid Catholic education. And also St. John Neumann promoted what is called the 40 hours devotion. The 40 hours devotion means basically spending 40 consecutive hours in front of the Blessed Sacrament, which you have maybe two people at a time replacing others, adoring Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. All this due to this great saint, St. John Neumann. Not to be confused with Cardinal John Henry Newman, who lived in England at the same time. The two Newmans were called to be a new man, a new woman in Christ. So then the day after that, we celebrate another saint. And that saint, he was sanctified, especially in Canada. Even though he was born in Indiana, but he gravitated with his parents to Montreal. The name of this saint is Saint Andres Bessette. Very interesting life. Very interesting life. Because almost everything that he undertook seemed to be a failure. He tried working a farm, that didn't work. As a blacksmith, that failed. as a cobbler with shoes that failed to, as a baker didn't work. Tried to enter religious life, he was rejected. Until finally the community of the Holy Cross accepted him. And the only thing that he could really do was this. He could pray. That was enough. And my friends, if the only thing we could do in our lives was to pray, that would be enough. Saint André Bessette. But he had a very special devotion. And that special devotion was to Saint Joseph. In his room he had a little statue of Saint Joseph. That he placed on the windowsill. And he would pray to Saint Joseph every day. Then he started to visit homes close to his convent. Homes of the sick people. He'd pray with them and pray for them. And he would anoint them with oil. And they'd be healed. So news got around and it turned out that many, many people started to visit the oratory where he was present. And many miracles occurred. Even though his health was fragile, he lived to be 91 years of age. And he said, go to Joseph. Go to Joseph. He said he was just a puppy dog of Saint Joseph. The puppy dog of good Saint Joseph. His name is Saint André Bessette. So that's kind of a summary of where we're at. Then we had Saint Raymond of Peñafort. And he became a Dominican, a follower of Saint Dominic, a great preacher. A great preacher, he was a lawyer, he was a writer. He went on to preach almost until he was 100 years of age. And one of the highlights of the life of this great saint was the following. He wanted to try to convert people to Christ. It is said that St. Raymond of Peñafort converted 10,000 Muslims to Catholicism. Think about that. How hard it is to convert a Muslim to the Catholic faith. 10,000 Muslims converted to Catholicism because of the preaching and teaching. Preaching and teaching of one man, Saint Raymond of Peñafort. Let's pray that we would be missionaries, even in the midst of this pandemic, that we would pray for ways in which we can spread the Word of God, preach the Word of God to the whole world. So that brings us to the readings for today. And tomorrow we celebrate the baptism of Christ. which concludes the Christmas season. Then on Monday we enter into what is called ordinary time. Ordinary time. Which we should live with extraordinary holiness, ordinary time. First reading, I'd like to highlight 2 points. We're reading once again the first letter of St. John, which we've been reading the past week, even more. St. John speaks about the reality of sin in this reading. This is a very good catechetical reading, which points out the difference between Catholic teaching and Protestant teaching. In this sense, he speaks about sin, but he differentiates between deadly sin and sin that is not deadly. It's very important in moral theology, in forming your conscience, as well as for confessors like myself. Yes, he differentiates between the mortal sin and the sin that leads unto death, and then what is called the less serious sin. Protestant theology, there's really no difference. But for Catholics, there is. And this is very important because, say, if you die in venial sin, you're saved. But if you die in mortal sin, you're lost. So St. John very clearly speaks there is a sin that leads to death, a deadly sin, another one that is not. So I'll take the opportunity just to give you a brief catechesis on what are the conditions for mortal sin. This is very important in moral theology because if you find yourself in mortal sin, you should try to go to confession before receiving communion. And if you commit a mortal sin, you should try to make a perfect act of contrition right away. Not to wait, not to delay. These then are the 3 conditions for committing what is called a mortal sin. Mortal means deadly. It's like if you fall off a bike and you cut your knee, that's not a fatal accident. But if you're in a head-on collision, going both of you going 70 miles per hour on the freeway, that's going to be a deadly collision, mortal, fatal condition, which terminates in death. So to commit a mortal sin, my friends, there are basically 3 conditions, and this we should know. We should try to learn this by heart. And they are, number 1 is grave matter. Number two would be full knowledge. And number three would be full consent of the will. Grave matter, full knowledge, full consent of the will. An example would be, a married woman, and she married in the church, she purposely cheats on her husband by committing adultery with another man. That's grave matter. She knows that that's wrong. Okay, grave matter, very serious. Full knowledge, she knows it's wrong. Full consent of the will, she does it anyway. There you have the three constitutive elements of what is called a mortal sin. And if we commit a mortal sin, then we should do all we possibly can to repent of this as soon as possible. And as the Catechism of the Catholic Church 1492 says, if repentance arises from love of charity for God, it is called perfect contrition. If it is founded on other motives, it is called imperfect. From the Catechism 1492. And if you make a perfect act of contrition, then you're already restored to grace. You're already restored to grace. However, you should try to go to confession as soon as possible. Going to confession to the priest as soon as possible. Okay, so that's mentioned in the first reading. Then, the last thing that St. John mentions in his letter, he says, my friends, he says, children, be on your guard. Children, be on guard against idols. Be on your guard against idols. Now, biblically, idols. We go back to the time of Moses. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai, the people were practicing idolatry. What were they doing? You probably know the story. And it's this, that they had made a golden calf and they were bowing down to it. Moses came down from the mountain with the tablets of the law. He was infuriated and he broke the commandments. And he pulverized that golden calf, cast it into the water and made the people drink the water. Moses was infuriated. Because they were practicing idolatry, which is against the first commandment. First commandment, we're called to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. This is idolatry. Now, I may be told this a few months ago, but I think it's very opportune that I repeat it. is idolatry. A definition of idolatry is whenever we place any person, place, thing, circumstance, concept, ideology above God. Years ago, I remember visiting a home right around Christmas. And in the home was a Catholic family. They had three statues. One was a big majestic statue of Buddha. Another statue was that of Santa Claus. It was a big statue that was illuminated, plugged into the wall. Then there was a small, dirty statue with the arm broken. It was of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It made me reflect. Buddha was big and prominent. Santa Claus was illuminated and it was shiny. But poor Jesus, the Sacred Heart statue of Jesus, was dirty, small, and his hand was limp. It was broken. So you might do this. Ask yourself, is there an idol in your life? Is there any person, place, thing, or circumstance, or ideology that you have placed above God? And that takes us to the gospel today. The gospel today, we go back to John chapter 1. After the prologue in John chapter 1, which was the gospel for Christmas, once again, we have the person of Saint John the Baptist. So the gospel today is a perfect preparation, my friends, for what we celebrate tomorrow. Tomorrow we celebrate the baptism of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the Jordan River. But trying to connect the first reading to the gospel, idolatry is when we place any person, place, thing above God. St. John the Baptist can be our model. Because St. John the Baptist had a mission. A very clear mission. In which he wanted to point people to Christ. Yes. He wanted to point people to Christ. He was like a signpost pointing people to Christ. Not to himself, but to Christ. So much so that the last verse today, John the Baptist says of Jesus, he must increase and I must decrease. So my friends, may God bless you. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.